A career change that leads to a meeting with someone very special. A story told on local TV that leads to a call from Disney. A business that puts people first and sets such an important and inspirational example for others. This is the story of an exceptional human being and businesswoman, Canadian-born, New Zealand-based, and driven to make a difference for those with a disability. When our guest on this episode, Jennifer Del Bell, met a young woman with Down syndrome, it changed the course of her business and of her life. It led to the launch of a candle business called Downlights and set in motion a mission for inclusion and diversity in the workplace. This is a story of fighting for others, of having a social impact, of showing the way, and we're privileged to share it with you here on One of the Eight.
So, you know, we could care a little less, do a little less for the people that work with us, but for what? Just for the sake of a little bit extra money at the end of the year? I don't know, I guess that's just not how I feel society should be.
I'm Jake Worley, and this is One of the Eight, bringing you the real life stories of real world people, the things they have achieved, and the things that have inspired them. Hi guys, in today's episode on the One of the Eight podcast, we're very lucky to be speaking one of the minds behind an utterly fantastic organisation. Today's guest joined forces with some truly inspiring people to develop a business that is empowering and doing wonders for social good. Downlights New Zealand sounds like a fabulous venture, and I can't wait to find out more. So Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us on.
So tell us a little bit about yourself first, Jennifer. Where are you joining us from and what's your story?
Well, I'm in Auckland, New Zealand at the moment. It's raining, which is not typical for here right now.
Okay.
I'm a Canadian born, half Canadian, half Kiwi now. I call myself a Kiwi. But I've lived in New Zealand now for, 20 years and was here as an exchange student 30 years ago. I fell in love with it, so I stayed.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. And what were you studying at the time?
Oh, boy. I'm a real overachiever in university. So that time, I was doing my degree on history and English. So I was at Otago University studying.
Okay. And I guess you've built a whole new life out there, right? Do you ever get to go back to Canada, or have you got family with you in New Zealand?
No, I don't have any family here. I have two children, two beautiful children, a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old. My mom and my sister are still in Canada, and my mom's lovely new partner, Bob, and I've got a couple of nieces, and I love to go back, but obviously with travel at the moment, haven't been back in a while, so
wow.
We'll see when the borders open next.
Wow, and from a career perspective, could you tell us a little bit about kind of what your background's in?
Honestly, my background has nothing to do with becoming a candle maker at all. I think there's a lot of people out there that can relate to this. So my first studies was in history and English, and then I went into resource and environmental management. Then I studied exercise physiology, and I worked as a personal trainer and an exercise physiologist for many years. I had a private studio. And then trained as an Iyengar yoga instructor. And that was actually what got me into making candles, was trying to create something for the yoga studio myself, because Canadians just are born making crafts. You know, you're stuck inside all winter, so you do things like that. So I thought, I'll make my own candles rather than buying them. And that was 8 years ago. So I had another candle business prior to Downlights for 6 years.
And so that was Illumina?
Is that how Illumina.
It is? Illumina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that journey start?
Well, literally, just like I said, making candles for the yoga studio. And I made them quite well. So clients started buying them. And I decided to go to a trade show and bring a selection of products there. But just because of what my nature is and having a background in research through what my university degrees were in, I spent quite a bit of time looking at market research of what was out there and other brands, other companies around New Zealand and Australia. And I managed to kind of nail a hole in the market for a product range, and it launched my business very, very quickly at the time. So I had a very successful candle company for 6 years. So Danlights was a bit of a sister company with a different story. So it's not like it had to get started right off from the ground. It had the benefit of having 6 years manufacturing experience with all of the key contacts in place for glassware, wicks, fragrance, wax. So we were really able to hit the ground running.
So at the time when you were running Illumina, what made that unique versus other candle companies?
Well, there were a couple of things. There actually weren't very many candle companies at the time that were using soy wax. So that was sort of first and foremost. And in the very first year, I focused the whole range on preserving jars as a style of glassware to use for the candles. And this was just synonymous with Kiwis and the culture of making jams and chutneys. And it just was so much a connection that people could make with their history, with their family. And over the years, as the business evolved, I started changing the containers to fit to what was more on trend or coming up on trend. And it just kept growing. And, you know, I do have to say I put a lot of time and research into the fragrance, into packaging design, into just the whole marketing strategy of it. So it's been a lot of work, but I actually really, really enjoy doing it. So it's been a pleasure.
So somebody that's clearly, you've bounced to a lot of different parts of your career. I guess if you stuck with, you were working on that for, you said around 6 years, it must have been something you were really enjoying.
I did. And it was something that I never expected to do. I always thought that I would carry on doing what I was doing with health and fitness because I loved it. But the idea of creating something from absolutely nothing with no experience in that area and doing well from it just was a complete and total business buzz for me. And I wanted to keep learning and seeing what else I could do, you know. So Illumina actually exported for a while, and that was a whole big learning curve for me. But probably nowhere near as big as the learning curve of the challenges that came with Downlights.
Now, before we get on to Downlights, as you mentioned, I'm sure there'd be a lot of people listening who have either been in a similar situation to yourself or feel like they're about to be, where jumping career or completely changing what it is, what they want to do is kind of on the horizon. What's your advice for anyone who's in that same situation?
Passion. Do something that you're passionate about and be prepared that it is going to be hard work. But if you love what you're doing, the hard work just sort of seems like part of it. And it doesn't even really feel like hard work. It's just, you have to have a passion for it.
Fabulous. Thank you. So talk us through at what point in the journey you came to meet what would be two very influential people, I believe Tony and Emma Sykes.
Yeah, well, this was a really, was a day I never really expected, and it changed my life. So Illumina had changed quite a bit through its course and business, and there were a number of candle companies that came on to the market in around about 2017. So I decided I needed to change the structure of the business to help it make profit easier. And right. I started doing school fundraisers. Because in New Zealand at the time, there were really no major options for fundraising for schools otherwise than buying chocolate and selling them. And I really didn't support that as a school fundraiser. So I started selling candles to schools to use as school fundraisers. And this started this process of people beginning to recognize that I was helping the community, because they would then use the money they raised to support whatever charitable cause they had at the school, whether it was buying new AstroTurf or books for the library. And at the same time, I was also doing contract manufacturing work, and I had a retailer in Auckland that I was quite friendly with, and she spoke with me about Tony and Tony's desire to speak to someone about the possibility of making candles for a market to take his daughter Emma to. So she told me a little bit about the backstory with Tony, and that quite affected me. So I thought I'll meet him for a coffee and see what he has to say. And the day that I met him and Emma for the coffee, it just changed the course of where everything went for my business at the time.
So tell us, what was some of Tony's backstory that gripped you?
Yeah, well, I met Emma and him, and Emma was so shy. She could hardly look you in the eye, and she was stuck to Tony, just glued to his side. And he told me he had another daughter, Nikki, with Down syndrome, and that his wife had passed away 5 or 6 years prior from cancer. And that Emma, now at the stage she was at in life, was looking for employment and had applied to over 20 different jobs, and not one organization even bothered to respond. So as a solo mom with two children, two daughters, and Tony also has two other children, that really affected me, because I knew my situation in life was challenging as a solo mom. Yes. Running a business. But then I looked at his situation and went, wow, that's actually a lot more challenging. I'm not the kind of person that can turn my back on someone like that. I wasn't raised that way by my family. So I had concerns whether it was going to work for Emma, if she would be able to actually take on board what needed to be done to make candles, and also for Tony, because he had no experience in that area at all. So we made the decision to make some candles for a local market. And okay. That was kind of how we kick-started.
And did Emma have, was there a pre-existing interest in candles, or, you know, what was it that made
candles.
Tony? Yeah?
Yeah, she liked candles. So that was the interest in it. And Tony was a baker, so I guess he kind of thought baking and making candles might be a natural sort of switch, but I think he was pretty shocked at how different it was once he headed into Illumina's factory.
Right. And what was Illumina bringing to the table? What were you saying to Tony, here's how I can help?
Well, at that time, it was first a facility. It was access to all of the glassware, fragrance, wicks, wax, all the raw materials at the cost price. And this is something that, you know, you'd never be able to have that at an entry level in a business, because you have to be buying with a minimum order. And,
right.
You know, it was, here you go. I'm going to do this with you, and I'm going to work with you to create a product so you can actually save all the time and all the money and not make the mistakes. And we'll see how it goes. And if it goes well at this market, then we can talk about what we might change or how we handle it afterwards.
So were Tony and Emma selling any candles when you guys met?
No, not at all. They didn't know anything about making candles. It literally, the first time we met and worked with Emma, it would have taken about 4.5 hours for her to make one candle from beginning to end.
Okay. So I guess you certainly helped speed up that process. And I think as a business in general, it's grown tremendously since its inception and kind of your partnership. Can you tell us a little bit about how it's grown and kind of where you started and where it's at now?
So initially there was this concept of just working at local markets because it suited what Emma's sort of level of capability was, and that she also was an extremely social person. She loved the whole part of going out to markets and working. And I felt that was important for her confidence, and that it might help her be a little bit more independent from Tony. However, we had a story done about downlights on a local television program in New Zealand called Seven Sharp, and that really catapulted the brand. We sold a candle a minute for 48 hours. So there was no time to go slow. So it literally, for four nights, I didn't sleep prior to that series being filmed, or show being filmed rather, because I had to create a tagline, find enough glassware from somewhere locally that I'd be able to make enough candles to meet the demand that I knew we would have, do the wick testing on the fragrances in the glassware, get the products listed onto a website, and we didn't have time to develop a Downlights website, so we piggybacked on Illumina's website, but opened an Instagram account, opened a Facebook account, opened up a LinkedIn account, you know, did all of this in 4 days, which I look back at that now and think it was absolutely crazy. And that story just, it did go quite crazy. And, you know, since then, the brand has just changed so much. Jake, I could talk for hours about this, so I got to be careful.
I could listen to it for hours.
Go overboard. But after that first story was on, we ended up getting a phone call. I'll never forget this. It was so funny. From this lady, Meredith from Disney. I hung up because, you know, you get a phone call from someone saying they're from Disney. You think, yes. Yeah, right. You hang up. She rings back and says, no, I'm literally from Disney. I'm from their parenting page called Babbel, and we'd like to do a story. So we did the story with Babbel, and that ended up with local newspapers and magazines writing stories. And that ended up with George Takei, who's Dr. Sulu from Star Trek.
Yes.
He did a video on us. It was a 3.5 minute video for his amazing Facebook page. And that got 1.3 or 1.4 million views in 24 hours. So that really put the brand in the global public eye. And that's when I really had to step up as managing director of the company, creative director of the company, and look at changing everything that we were doing. You know, were we being diverse enough? Were we being inclusive enough? And certainly from my perspective, the focus on Emma was not inclusive enough. We needed to look at people with all disabilities, not just Down syndrome. And we weren't doing that at the time. We were really only focusing on Emma having Down syndrome and what her challenges were and using that as an example. So there was a very significant amount of time put into learning the language of the disability sector.
Right.
And that is still something I spend a lot of time on, because I'm very conscious that what we're doing is being watched by people globally. We do a lot of public speaking, and I want to get this right for the people that Downlights is advocating for. So it's honestly, Jake, it's just been such a massive learning curve for me as a business person, but also as a personal person, as a woman, as a mother, as a human, to go on this journey about inclusivity and diversity.
Yeah, but you're clearly doing something right, because the company is very successful. It's got a fantastic image, which is completely justified. And clearly it's providing wonderful amounts of opportunity. I mean, how many people have you got working for the company now?
Well, I'll clarify a couple things with you at this point here as well. Tony's daughter, Nikki, came and worked with us for a year at Downlights as well. But at the beginning of this year, they are no longer with the company. So they live quite far out in Beachlands, which you won't know where that is here, but they were commuting a minimum hour to come into work, working for their 4-hour shift, then going back home. And the girls were exhausted. It was really getting to be a bit too much for them. So that did open the door for us to bring new people in. But even during the time when Emma and Nikki were with Down Nights, we worked with an organization called Recreate in New Zealand, and they were piloting a program called MOXIE. And MOXIE stands for Meaningful Opportunities Crossing into Employment. So we were one of the, I think we were one of the first two businesses that they had trial this program. So we had four crew members, we call them crew members, come and join us once a week for 4 hours a day. And we started teaching them how to make soy melts. Well, this was the beginning of a very important step for Downlights, because that work experience program has stayed part of our core values. So we did a year and a half work experience with people from MOXIE, and we've employed three of the MOXIE crew. And every Friday, we still have a crew come in from either a local college or a local school who is looking for one term of work experience programs so that we can help them build a resume, work on how they meet a prospective employer, develop new skill sets, build their confidence, and, you know, really start to see what they're capable of doing and what they're interested in doing so that they can go out there and go for it. And instead of doing these programs that they do after high school that just don't prepare them in any way for the workforce. That's my opinion on that. I might be being a bit. Yeah. So that's stayed a very big part of what we do. So, and it will stay, it's a core part of the business. In 2020, we also developed a charitable trust. Wow. That was a learning curve,
okay.
But the charitable trust was developed so that we would be able to donate a dollar from every candle we manufacture to our trust, which allows us to donate to beneficiaries. And right now we have the New Zealand Down Syndrome Association, as well as Recreate New Zealand. And we just recently nominated the Living Wage Movement in New Zealand as a recipient as well. So this allows us to give very essential monthly donations to organizations, especially post-COVID, that are just not getting funding coming through. So that's something I feel very proud about for Downlights, to be able to make an even bigger social impact.
Yeah, I know. I mean, firstly, congratulations. It's a mind-blowing series of achievements and accomplishments. It's fabulous. What stories have the people got, your crew members? What stories are they coming to you with?
Well, you know, I'll tell you a story about Jack and Kirsty. They're both amazing. Everyone who works with us is amazing. But Kirsty just turned 30. Jack's in his mid-20s. And both of these young adults, Downlights is their first paid employment experience. And both of them have learned for the first time in their lives to take public transport to Downlights by themselves. And for each of them, it's over an hour commute, which in Auckland by bus, that's actually quite a big commute. And they've learned how to do this with the help of their parents, who've been just the most incredible support along the way. And they come into work, they do their shift, and they're on time, and they've just grown and grown in their capabilities at work. But it's not even at work, it's how they interact with people outside of work. It's their level of confidence, their level of happiness, and, you know, that little bit of financial independence. I'm not sure if you have the living wage in the UK, but in New Zealand, we have something called the living wage, which is a wage that is higher than the minimum wage.
Right.
And we became living wage accredited last year. So we are one of very few companies in New Zealand to be living wage accredited. So this is something I feel really proud about for the company as well. And it's certainly needed for the disability sector as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, you've given me a nice segue there, from the sense that I guess that the founding story of this is a heartwarming one. and you know the crew members that you have. It's a fabulous story, but I think it is highlighting a problem, right? That there are still major issues in employment opportunities.
Yeah. Well, in New Zealand, almost 1 in 4 people have a disability, and the disability rate for unemployment is double the disability, the employment rate for people without a disability. And, you know, when we look at stats that someone with a disability will work 2.5 years longer in a job than someone without a disability, but that they're paid on average a little under $100 a week less, and that they're the most likely to lose a job post-COVID and have the fear that they will lose their job. So COVID's been terrifying for people with a disability in New Zealand. And just from my experience on the public speaking circuit, because I do quite a bit of public speaking, when you talk about diversity and inclusivity with big businesses, you can see the challenges that it poses for them. But I guess for Downlights, we've started with the core value being about diversity and inclusivity. And we fought for that from the beginning. So we're able to say, well, you know, you can change and incorporate the social values that we are incorporating, because they're not a social enterprise, so they actually have the profitability to do it. So it's that idea that you can be altruistic and capitalistic at the same time.
It's a difficult balance, isn't it? And one that I think, I mean, you've clearly nailed that balance, but there's this argument, isn't there, that for a company to be able to have social impact and to do social good, you do have to make money, otherwise that's not possible.
Yes, I completely agree, but how much profit do big companies need to make? You know, if I look at what our profit is, and you know, we're doing fine, but everything we take out of profit, there's this large portion that goes into buying specialty equipment, into hiring another supervisor so that we can give better attention to the people that are working with us. So, you know, we could care a little less, do a little less for the people that work with us, but for what? Just for the sake of a little bit extra money at the end of the year? I don't know. I guess that's just not how I feel society should be. I understand we all need to make money, but when I look at the poverty level and just the demise of people in general, I think we can all do more to care for everybody. You know, if hasn't COVID taught us the value of life and of humanities? I get a bit upset when we talk about stuff like this, Jake.
No, it's fascinating hearing your thoughts on it. So I'd love to know a little bit about, since starting this journey, how has it impacted you yourself as a human, as a mother, and as a business person?
I developed a very special bond with Emma when I worked with her, and I'm quite a go-getter and not particularly patient, but the patience that I learned working with Emma is something that I've never lost. I've carried that through with me with every person I work with. And I have had to really learn to think laterally, to problem solve, and to communicate with everyone that works with me at Downlights. And that's actually really made me a lot more articulate as a businesswoman. The whole setup of the business and the progression of the business, that has challenged me as a businesswoman beyond anything I've ever experienced. You know, I've done 2 crowdfunding campaigns, we launched a crowdfunding campaign on the day we went into lockdown in New Zealand. So the challenges of that personally were incredible. The pressure and the stress from that was just intense. But I wasn't just fighting for me. I was fighting for other people. So I think I realized how much drive I have when, you know, you're trying to do something to make a difference. And I certainly feel like I've grown in that area in stickability, determination, but also probably compassion and patience and just acceptance. Both of my two daughters work with me at Downlights, and I look at who they were before they started working with Downlights. They'd never met someone with a disability. So fear and prejudice, that was the first thing I could see when I saw them meeting Emma, Nikki, Jack, Taylor, Kirsty, Miles. They were nervous. And I look at them now when they come into work, and they're amazing. They're so loving, and they're just the way I would want them to be. And as a mother, knowing that I've set that example for them to be inclusive and accepting of diversity, and that might rub off on their friends, that's probably one of my greatest rewards, just seeing the way they are with the staff when they work with them.
Yeah, it's a fabulous example of the reality of the ripple effect you're having with this work, that so close to you, most local in your daughters who are seeing it day to day and in person, to somebody like myself who's reading about it on the other side of the planet. It's fabulous seeing the impact you're having on so many different levels with so many different people. So massive congratulations on this.
Well, thank you. And we've won a few awards in the last little bit too, Jake. That's been really exciting. Last year we won the Breaking Barriers Awards from Diversity Works. So that was a real honor. And yesterday, we actually won the best mid-size stand at the New Zealand Home and Giftware Expo.
Oh, fabulous.
Which for us is fantastic because we launched into the retail sector last year. So during COVID, I spent a very long time rebranding and developing the new website and changing the look of the brand to take it out of that market sector and make it more mainstream so that we could start to make a bigger impact and give us the launch pad to start to go global with the brand. And winning that award was fantastic because it just showed that what we're doing is on the right track. And, you know, the more people buy the product, the more the story gets told, the more impact we're making, and the more awareness we're creating about diversity and inclusivity in the workforce. So days like yesterday just feel fantastic.
Well, congratulations for that. And I certainly have no doubt that that is part of what's going to be a long history of awards to come.
Oh, thank you.
So clearly you're a very busy person with lots going on at the moment. So I'll give you one last question before I let you rest for the day, because as we mentioned, being where you are, it's coming to the end of the day for you, just as the sun's coming up for me here. So my last question to you, we like to find out from each of our guests about something or someone that has inspired them throughout their life. So we'd like to know, Jennifer, who or what has inspired you?
It's actually my parents. My parents were incredibly loving people. And their work ethic was so incredible. What they sacrificed for my sister and I so that we could go on holidays and go to university. They put us first. And I, you know, my father was a miner. He would work rotation shifts in a gold mine as an electrician, you know, be up when it was minus 45 degrees in the morning, walking to take a bus that had to drive 45 minutes in the cold to a mine in remote Northern Ontario. And I look at what they sacrificed for my sister and I, and hard work is not something that frightens me in any way at all. Every time I do something, there's this part of me that still feels, geez, I hope I'm making my mom and my dad proud, because, you know, they're just such incredible people. So they are my biggest influences in my life.
Well, thank you for that very open and honest inspiration that you've shared with us. And clearly, the lessons that you've taken from your parents are something that you're passing down to your own children, which is probably the greatest honor you can give your parents, right?
I think so.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been fantastic hearing about the work that you're doing, how it happened, where it's going, and I really can't wait to continue following the story and see where you guys end up next.
Oh, I'd love to talk to you again, Jake. Thank you very much, and it's fabulous to share this with you way on the other side of the world. So thank you very much on behalf of everyone from Downlights.
There are almost 8 billion people on our planet, and Jennifer Del Bell is one of the 8. You can find out more about how Jennifer is setting an example for inclusion and diversity in the workplace with Downlights New Zealand online at oneoftheeight.com. Everyone has a story to share. Everyone has something to give. Everyone can inspire. One of the Eight is a movement of real-world people from across the globe, sharing real-life stories, inspiring others, enriching lives, and giving something back. I am, you are, everyone is one of the Eight. Now streaming on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join the movement at oneoftheeight.com.